Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Really, 007.
We hope you enjoy our interview with Marguerite. We all had a great time, but she does discuss some difficult issues and painful memories of filming Dr. No. We're all behind you, Marguerite.
Welcome, everybody, to the Really 007 podcast once again. I'm Tom Pickup, and we are celebrating 60 years of James Bond by talking to someone we can't believe who was there when it began, the very first film. Yes, we're talking today with Marguerite Gordon, who was from Dr. No, the very first James Bond film. Like I say, we can't believe it. So welcome, Marguerite. Great to see you.
Thank you all very much for inviting me here. Of course, I'm always a little nervous about anything like this. So many years have passed, 60 years. I'm going to start from the beginning. And the beginning was what happened to Jamaica. How was Jamaica in the 40s? And I was born in 1940. I'd made Dr. No. I was in Dr. No when I was 22. So now you know how old I am. So
yeah. There we go.
So what I wanted to say is that, you know, if you're born into a family that's good and wonderful, it is a stroke of luck. You know, we can't choose where we were born, what country or what family. We happened to be born into a wonderful family, my mother and father. And, you know, they gave us all the support we had. And I just want you to know that we wanted. And all the things they taught us about high morals and about integrity was always drilled into us. And also being independent and learning to work to help to support yourself. My father was like a unifier of great political leaders. He was a town clerk in Kingston, Jamaica in the late 40s. And a lot of big political people would come to see him because he always was very calm and could try to get people to unify. Who was he talking to? The leader of the PNP, one of the greatest political parties in Jamaica, and the founding leader was Norman Manley, who was a brilliant lawyer trained in London. And the opposition leader was a man in charge of the JLP, the second big party, Sir Alexander Bustamante. They'd had little quarrels with each other. Then they would come to my father and we'd sit down. So we talked politics. I learned politics when I was 9 years old. I was very interested. And in fact, to go on with that, Michael Manley was a prime minister and was the son of Norman Manley. I will let you know that he did marry my sister, my older sister, and her name was Barbara. I thought I'd bring a picture of Barbara.
Oh.
Can you
see? Oh, wow. Wow. Yes.
Wow.
Barbara, this is my older sister. And this was taken at Pinewood Studios in London because they wanted her to do some filming in London. However, very tragically, she died when she was 27.
Oh,
so
gosh.
She died of cancer. So that's She was cover girl also on Life magazine, and she was cover girl on Queens and Harper's Bazaar. I don't have the years for that. So there are three of us. And so I want you to meet my youngest sister now. This is Janet, and she is 78 years old.
Ah, lovely.
Wow.
See the resemblance.
Three of us. What I'd like to say, though, is that you have met some of my family. You have met my son, Rhett, and who has been so helpful there. And here's another son, Gregory, and my granddaughter, Elise.
Oh, wow.
That's Elise. She's 15. Lovely. And that's Gregory, who is another son.
You are very proud of your family, Marguerite. It's
yes,
lovely.
I am. And I think it's very important that you were. So, entering a beauty contest, Mr. Maker.
Yeah.
After I worked with BWIA, and I was certainly going to aiming for the aviation world. I wanted to be a flight attendant, but my parents feared that every aircraft that took off was going to crash. So that was forbidden, and I was too young to disobey them. So therefore, I became a ground staff member. So I was a ground staff and also handling BWIA, British Airways, and Lufthansa, the German airline. And how did I get into the beauty contest? Well, after working, when I was working, I'd learned to drive. And I said to my father, Daddy, you know, I just learned to drive. And so I'd like to borrow the car. And he said to me, Marguerite, there's only one car in this family. Your mother is using it. Your sister Barbara has got her license before you. So I cannot buy you a car, but I will teach you how to save to buy a car. I said, what? Okay, well, thank you, Daddy. And I respectfully left the room and opened the news. I was very annoyed. I opened the newspaper, and there, what did I see? A full-page advertisement. Enter Miss Jamaica and win for the first time your own car. I said, what? The paper? I said, this car is definitely for me. So what I did then, you guys, is what I really have done is auto-suggestion using the mirror technique. I cut out a picture of the car, put it in the bathroom, on the bathroom window glass. And then talk to myself. I said, this is my car. I am going to win this car. And I said, I can see myself driving this car. And then I just said to myself, I wonder what color car. So I phoned the company who was doing the Miss Jamaica. I said, what color is the winning car? And they said, it's a yellow car. I said, thank you. So then I went back to the mirror and said, this is my yellow car. I said it over and over. But I had other hurdles to mount to enter that contest. My parents didn't want me to enter at all. Walking around in a bikini bathing suit, disrespectful, horrible. So I phoned them again. Do the contestants all have to wear bathing bikinis? And they said, no, one piece. So Daddy and Mommy, only one piece. It's okay. And I kept on saying, I'm going to win that car. And I won the car. Okay.
Really?
That is why. Yes. It was to win the car. And I won that car, my little yellow car. So then the airline industry, I was wanting to work my way to the top. I couldn't fly because they didn't want me to. And I was very obedient. So now we come to how did I get to Dr. No. So I'd won Miss Jamaica. I'm still working at the airport. Well, gentlemen, I'm checking at the first class ticket counter, and a very tall man came up to me and said, in the line of passengers, I was checking in passengers to go first class to London. And he said to me, would you like to be in the movies? I said, oh, certainly, sir. Would you put your bag on the scale, please? And he said, you don't understand. I said, well, may I have your ticket, please? His ticket. And then I said, he said, you need to listen to me. I said, well, I am listening, but I want you to listen to me, sir. So would you please, do you have any hand luggage? He said, no, I don't have it. Just, I need to talk to you. I'm going to make a series of movies. I said, oh, interesting. Here is your boarding pass. He said, I'm going to make a series of movies that will become the most famous in the whole world. And they will last for years. I said, how interesting. Have a nice flight. 3 months go by. It's now 22. I was 21. I won the contest. So this is now 1922. I'm again at the ticket counter. And a man comes up to me. He said, do you remember me? I didn't remember him at all. I checked in hundreds of passengers since I'd last had that conversation with him. So I said, not really, sir. How may I help you? He said, I asked you to be, if you'd like to be in the movies. I said, I vaguely remember something like that, but how may I help you now? He put a bottle of perfume on the table, on my counter. He said, here is a bottle of Miss Dior perfume for you. and here is a contract for you to sign. I said, no, listen to me, guys. I love Miss Dior perfume. I knew I could pick it. I didn't know the man. So I said to him, I do not take perfume if some strange men. So please take back your perfume. And I'm not signing a contract. You don't even know I can act. I said, what is this all about? He said, well, look, we have this series which is going to be, it's going to be called the Bond series. And I want you to know that we would like you to be in the first one. I said, I really am not sure about this at all. And they said, well, look, we're having a reading. And I said, where is the reading going to be? And he said, we're going to be reading at a hotel called the Courtly Manor, which is a very respectable hotel. Then I said, at what time is the reading? He says, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Will you come? I said, I haven't made up my mind yet. And he left. He said, please try it. So I went home. Remember, I'm living at home with my parents and talked to my parents. And I said, this is what is happening. They said, you know something, Margaret? Well, see, you have been doing advertisements since you've been Miss Jamaica. You have acted in plays before on the stage. Give it a try because it's a good time in the afternoon. Nobody can try anything stupid with you. So why don't you try? So I said, well, all right. So I jumped into my little yellow car that I had won and I drove to the reading. Well, as I walked through the door, they said, we're so happy to see you. I said, well, thank you very much. And they said, we want you to read this. And they handed me the script. I was supposed to be lying on a couch, wrapped in a towel, kissing a strange man. I said, what? Me lying on a couch? Kiss? Who is this man? And he said, his name is Sean Connery. I said, I've never heard of him. And they said, you soon will. It's going to be James Bond. I said, I've never heard of him either. I said, but let me tell you something, gentlemen. I am not reading for this part. And they said, why aren't you reading for this part? I said, because my parents would not like it. I'm 22 years old, but I cannot go against this. This is not my scene. Goodbye. And I took up my hand and started to walk out. And they said, come back, come back. Don't worry. We have another part, a part of photographer called Annabella Chung. I said, is this just a straight part? And they said, yes, but you know, you're supposed to be not a very good person. I said, well, let's try that.
The part that you would have been given was Miss Tarot, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I just not, that's not me. I couldn't take, he should know that I couldn't do that. I ignored him the first thing. I told him to take back his perfume. Why would I be laying on a bed? My idea was not to be in movies at all. I was extremely nervous. And my first scene, they asked me, did I have a, they told me what they'd like me to wear. So I took a dress out of my wardrobe and they approved of it. That's the first thing. And I'm in a green dress and I'm going to take a picture of Sean Connery as he gets off the aircraft. So I was extremely nervous. I had to look Chinese, half Chinese. So they tied my eyes behind my head with Durafix and 2 elastic bands so that I would have a half Chinese. Okay.
Wow.
It was a bit uncomfortable, but I said, okay, I'll do it. So now it comes time for the movie. Right, the first scene, the makeup is on, my eyes are in place. They hand me a camera. Now, I'm not a techie person. I couldn't even do the new thing here. So I looked at this camera, which was a very old-fashioned camera with like a crank handle thing and a flash bulb. They showed me how to work it once, and they asked me, do you understand? Now, I made a mistake of being like many women and men who don't have confidence in their job. I said, yes, of course I did. I did not understand it. And I should have told them, no, can you show me again? But I said, yes. And they said, okay, we're now putting a line on the floor here. So Mr. Young was very proper. Miss Luaz, when Sean reaches that mark, you take the shot, you know, take the flash, do the flash. Well, before he reached the mark, the flashbulb went off. So this Sean, cut, stop. Miss Luaz, did you not see the mark? I said, I'm so sorry, sir. My hand slipped. Could we do another one? The second time, after he passed the mark, my flashbulb went off. I could see he threw off his cap and he said, let's take a short break. And I could see he was thinking, this is a very stupid Jamaican girl.
Oh, no.
The fourth time, I dropped the camera and something broke on the camera. There was dead silence on the set. Then finally, I had him looking up and down 7 times. Now, I always obeyed every instruction I was given by Mr. Young. except what I'm going to tell you now and what I will end of the problem. Yes, and then I said they wanted me to lick, he wanted me to lick the flashbulb. And I said, I did not want to do that. I did it once. He said, do it again. I said, I don't want to do this. And he said, why? I said, because it makes, I find it an evil thing. And he said to me, Miss Luaz, you are supposed to be evil. So lick the flashbulb again. That's the only time I disobeyed any thing.
Taxi.
All right, then go ahead.
Help yourself. Taxi.
Mr. Bonsa.
Yes?
I'm Mr. Jones, sir. Chauffeur from Government House. I've been sent to get them.
Well, that's fine, Mr. Jones. You can drop my luggage off at the hotel on the way. Now, hang on a minute, will you? I want to check my reservation.
Oh, I can do that.
No, no. You just take care of the bags.
My second scene. This is my big scene. I was extremely nervous in that first scene, even though I didn't have any lines, really. I just had to look evil. Because my colleagues at the BWIA, by this time I was a supervisor, all the staff came to look at what I was doing, and I was very nervous. So now it's the second scene. And in the scene, my last scene, a couple of weeks have passed, maybe a month, and then I'm in my red Cheongsam dress, and it's at a place called Morgan's Harbor, which is supposed to be my big scene. So there I am in Morgan's Harbor. I'm supposed to be taking pictures of the crowd with the same horrible camera, taking pictures of the crowd. In the background is going on Jump On, music by a very famous band leader called Byron Lee. Jump up, jump up. So, you know, everybody's jumping up. And then all of a sudden, this man comes towards me and says, come over here, and he grabs my arm. This was Quarrel.
Yes.
And he twists my arm behind my back. He was a very nice man to work with, because every time he had to squeeze my hand, he said, Margaret, I'm going to hurt you now. I'm sorry. I said, well, don't squeeze too hard because I do get bruises, but go ahead and squeeze. And so he brings me over to the table. At the table is Sean Connery sitting down. There is Jack Lord from Hawaii Five-O, and Quarrel pushes me in the seat.
Yes, Harry Quarrel, and the camera.
You're hurting.
Captain wants you to have a drink with us.
You're hurting me.
You can't mean it.
And of course, comes my time when I have my lines. And so Sean says, why did you want another picture of me? And I said, because whatever I said. And he said, well, you know something, I don't think that's correct. And then the director brought to me, I'm supposed to say another line. And my mind went completely blank. Couldn't remember what to say. Cut, Mr. Young, cut. Silence and set. We're going to do this again. Let's have a rehearsal. He points at me, action. I know the lines perfectly. I can remember them. And in fact, Sean made a little error and I was able to correct him. He said, cut, another rehearsal, the rehearsal. And I say, well, I know the lines perfectly. And then he says, well, we're now going to shoot. Silence on set, lights, camera, action, points at me. I can't even remember the first word I'm about to say. So they say, cut. Mr. Young gets up and he looks very annoyed and he walks off the set. Very annoyed, very annoyed. And Sean put his hand on my knee. And I said, you should remove your hand because it's making me even more nervous. And he said, Marguerite, in his lovely Scots accent, why are you so nervous? I said, because I don't have any self-confidence and I'm not an actress and I really want to go home. And I started to cry.
Oh.
I didn't want to do this. And he said, no, listen to me carefully about self-confidence. And this is what Sean said to me. If you look the part physically for what you're supposed to do, and you do look the part, you've made up the right way, you look great. If you know what you're supposed to do, and he said, that's your efficiency, because guess what? You are able to do it perfectly in the rehearsals. And if you are the right personality for what you do, and we think you have the right personality, the secret to self-confidence is an acronym called PEP, and it is physical, if you looked apart for your job, E for efficiency, you know your work, and P, you project your personality. And do you know, I use that when I started working for myself, I use that acronym from 1960 when I started working for myself. And I've trained over 20,000 people in the Caribbean.
Wow.
In the aviation industry, for ground staff, flight attendants, in banking industry, in the tourism industry. And I've used my copyright PEP.
All from Sean. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
From Sean.
Good evening. Why do you want another picture of me?
Because I only got your hat at the airport. Tell the thing to let me go.
But why do you want a picture at all?
Because that's the way I earn my living.
Who pays you?
Oh, the Daily Cleaner.
Hospital!
Anything I can do?
Never seen this girl before?
She come here sometimes. She being a nuisance to you, huh? You want for me to get rid of her?
No, just ring the cleaner to find out if they send her the plug for here tonight, will you?
They didn't send me. I work freelance.
Freelance, hmm? For whom? Tell us and you'll stop.
We don't get nothing out of this, gal. You want me to break your arm?
Another time. Second time nothing's come out. Give her her arm back. Run along, freelance.
You'll be sorry. You'll all be sorry, you rats.
One takes cyanide, another would have stood for her arm being broken. None of them talk. Who puts that sort of scare into people?
I think maybe we better find out, but fast.
But I was only sorry that Sean, we never met again. Because I never ever saw him again, because I really wanted to tell him how he had helped me, but we never met again.
Who, did you ever find out who that was?
What?
Who cast you? That's the Mr. Your Perfume.
That was Sean. That was Terence Young.
Oh, it was Terence Young.
Oh, it was Terence Young. Wow.
It was Terence Young, and I gave him back his perfume. And it was Terence Young.
It was, yeah. So how was he? Was he a lovely guy?
He was a very good-looking man. Oh. And he treated me very well in my inability to remember my lines. However, I'm going to tell you something that I've never told anyone before. And I saw, because I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but at the rap party, Mr. Young asked me to go with him to the rap party, because we're finished now. And he said, I have a limousine outside. So I'll escort you to the limousine, we'll sit, and then we will go. I said, fine. So there's a limousine with seats in the back row, seats in the second row, and the chauffeur. He said, sit in the back, so I did, and he got in beside me. Then all of a sudden, the middle door opened, and Sean came in with Ursula Andress. They were going to the rap party too. But I'm sorry to tell you this. Terence Young leaned forward and whispered in Sean's ear. And Sean looked at me with, I suppose, a kind of a surprised look on his face. And he turned to Ursula, and they both got out of the car. So I'm now there and closed the door. And Mr. Young said, Terence said, drive. Now, the beach party was in that last shoot was at a place called Morgan's Harbor, which is it's past the airport. And the airport in Jamaica has a long, very dark, winding road, which eventually going one way gets to Port Royal. You've ever heard of Port Royal? Port Royal, which was a very famous place that was used by the pirates. Anyway, to get to this beach party, you had to drive on this long road. And I'm sorry to say, but Terence became aggressively making a pass at me.
All
right. It was more than a pass. He actually grabbed me very at a place. I was so shocked, I slapped him across his face.
Wow.
That didn't stop him. He did it again. I slapped him a second time, and I said to him, I will seriously hurt you if you touch me again. And I will jump up at this car, and if I'm found dead on the road, it'll be your fault, because this is a very lonely road. He said, don't you know who I am? You know, those words that really annoyed. I said, I do know who you are. He said, I will cut you out of the film. I will cut you out of Dr. No. And I said, Mr. Young, go ahead and cut me out because you've already paid me. So cut me out. And this is getting to the reason why it's not my voice.
Right.
You didn't realize it wasn't my voice.
No, I think we did, but I didn't know it was because of this. So sorry to hear this, Marguerite. Yeah.
I never told anyone. You're the first people I've told. I just said there was a disagreement with the director. Yeah. In a little while, maybe about 2 months after that, he phoned me from London. He said, Marguerite, he didn't apologize. He just said, we need you to come over here to dub at Pinewood Studios. We'll send a ticket for you. I said, I'm not coming. He said, but you might be cut out again. I said, I told you you could cut me out, but I'm not coming. I want nothing more to do with you. He said, well, it's not going to be your voice. I said, well, find somebody else's voice or cut me out. And I hung up the phone at him.
Oh, well, well done.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so well, sorry, Pete.
I have to tell you, gentlemen, that I was 22 years old.
Yeah.
And when I read after all these years, you find the Me Too movement, especially in America, where young girls have been treated very badly that way by directors and people, and they, because they want to achieve to the top, they keep it silent and wait all 40 years. I handled it right away because I didn't want to get into the movie world.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that is my story.
Oh, well,
it's awful to hear experience that. It's just, this really is terrible.
I saw that you are all great fans of Terence Young, and I was until that very moment.
Well, but you know, we don't know. We never knew him as a person, so it's like you can. Yeah. So to hear that is really disappointing, the fact that he had abused his power, which is exactly what it was, you being a young woman and, you know, I'm the director. It's, you know, like that's almost like what you hear all the time, isn't it? Like you mentioned about the Me Too, is the powerful men using, you know, that.
Yes, I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't
stand abuse women.
No, he should have known that after I didn't believe he was wanting me to move it, that I'd given him back the perfume, that I refused to do that scene. He should have known what type of person I was.
Yeah.
And that I would not take that.
Gosh.
That's who I am.
Just to worry about anyone else who's worked with him over the years who haven't said anything.
Hopefully he got the right idea after, you know, trying on with you, and you did the right thing then. And it's so difficult. I mean, to wait all these years as well, what's taking real courage? And I'm sorry you've stayed silent for so long, Marguerite.
I know. But I was silent about it. But I dealt with it. You know, I dealt with it at 22 years old. I dealt with it. And I can look back at it now that I'm almost 82 and say, well, I am glad I did it still.
Mm.
Even though sometimes I thought, suppose I had done something and allowed him to do what he wanted to do. But that's not me. I couldn't. That's not how I was brought up.
No, you know? And now I understand now very much about the importance of your family in who you are as a person and the strength of morals and standards that you have. Totally to be admired, Marguerite.
It's a family strength, you know, and therefore family is very important. Jamaica was very eager about the film. I have never been invited to any royal premieres or really political. I have never been invited, and I thought maybe somebody should really have invited me. Oh, I'll tell you, in 2012, an autographic, a huge thing that you can do, important autographs, invited me to come to London for a James Bond reunion. And so I went over to London to sign autographs. It was in Birmingham.
Right.
And I met quite a lot of former James Bond girls, ladies. I was the oldest one there. I should have brought another picture of them, but still. I was the oldest one there. And they were they treated me royally. They really did.
They're great.
And signed, I had a handler. And everybody had their own spot. Thousands of people came for James Bond. Thousands. Such a popular series. So Terence Young had been so correct that it was going to be so popular. Still is popular.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so I said to the handler, everybody has a handler who tells you to sign this or sign this. I'm signing pictures of myself. And up to 2 years ago, another company from England asked me, sent me 200 pictures to sign my name because of requests of fans. Mm. I still get fan mail.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, and from these people, some of them are 16 years old. I said, what? They don't even know that I'm 82 years old. And they're still like, mm-hmm. It's really, anyway, so the handler said to me, you just signed there. So I said, when somebody asked me to autograph my picture, should I ask them, do they want it to be personalized? Should I put their name? And he said, yes, but I'm going to tell you who will not want their name. I said, who? I said, first of all, the British will say, personalize it. So will the Americans. So will the French. The Americans will say, put my name. But there's one group who will say, no, just sign your name. And I said, why would they say that? And they said, because they're going to sell your picture.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said, who are they? He said, the Germans. So when I asked a gentleman, will I sign? Everybody said, yes, yes, yes. And then the first man who said to me, no, just sign it. I said, are you from Germany? He said, how did you know that? I had been born, but I tell you, it was a wonderful experience. And then in 2013, Vancouver was doing James Bond Reloaded, and they were featuring Dr. No. So my son, one of my sons, the one you saw, second one here, lives in Vancouver. He said, Mom, come on up. So I did come on up. No, I was treated royally. Huge theaters, presentation of things, and they had Dr. No, and they gave me a standing ovation that I was still around.
It's, but you are part of such a source of happiness for so many people, yes, Marguerite. Yes. I remember being a small boy on the floor at my grandma and grandpa's house, watching you and the light bulb with Quarrel, and me just I just couldn't believe what had happened, what I'd seen. You know, and so you have added so much to so many fans' lives. You really have.
Well, the French have asked me to do a magazine article for them.
I mean, do you realise how big James Bond is now? I mean, honestly,
yes,
he's
still
huge. Now, 60 years.
Yeah,
he's huge, and it's 60 years.
Yeah.
My favourite James Bond show, of course, is Dr. No. But then I liked Thunderball.
Yeah, also in the Caribbean.
And I liked Daniel Craig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Robin Moore, no, didn't like him so much. Daniel Craig, I like Daniel Craig very much. But I haven't seen No Time to Die. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, well, we won't spoil it then.
Oh, don't worry about that.
A lot of that was filmed in Jamaica.
That's his last one, isn't it?
Yes, that is his last one.
It seems that way, yes.
Yeah. They were back in Jamaica to film it.
Yes, I know. Well, I live in Trinidad now because I'm married to Trinidadians. I've been married for 43 years.
Oh, well, congratulations. Well done. Yeah.
That's a long time.
Fabulous.
So there I am.
So great that, firstly, thank you for your honesty and your bravery today. And, you know, it takes a lot to share those kind of things. And I'm sorry that those things happened, but I just thank you that you can still talk about James Bond so fondly and so positively, because you have made such an impact on so many people's lives. You are, nothing can ever take away the fact that you are the first evil woman in the whole of James Bond
ever met.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you are, one can take that away. That is who you are.
No one can take that away. Even though it's 60 years, and I hope I don't look like an evil old bag.
No. You're immortal. What you've done is immortal, yeah. Marguerite. You know, and it's incredible. It is incredible. I've got goosebumps.
Yeah. I can tell you, Marguerite, there's a James Bond documentary I think you did called Inside Dr. No, and you were talking about the filming of it. And I can't remember who it was. Somebody on that video says you and your sister were the most beautiful women in Jamaica at the time. And
you saw my sisters.
Well, yes, yeah.
I showed you.
So no wonder you won Miss Jamaica, clearly.
Well, remember, I only entered to get a car.
The car.
How long did you keep the car?
Well, I kept it for maybe 8 years and then I sold it.
That's good.
That's a long time.
It is.
It's good, yeah.
It was a lovely little car. And I certainly went to my interview for Dr. No in my own little yellow car that I had bought myself. Well, yeah. That I had won.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't. No,
but that story as well is, it's you're an icon of positive thinking as well. Yeah, you made your own fortune, Marguerite. Yeah, you made your own luck. You made your own luck and fortune.
Yes. Yes. Well, I did. You know, I worked in the aviation industry and worked there. I also writing. How did I get into writing?
Yes, you did that.
I love writing. Yeah. And I've written 3 books. One is Dancer, The Little Dog from Mayaro Beach. It is based on a true story, which I then fantasized. The true story is, at a beach house we have in Trinidad, a little orphan dog would come and knock and cry through the fence, looking at us. It's a long beach, the second, and I had friends who came to stay with us for the weekend, and they were going to leave to go away to America. So the dog came back the second day, the dog came back the third day, and then my friend, who's called Judy said, you know, I'm going to take that little dog away because nobody seems to want that dog. And I said, well, you know, it's a stray. Take him away then if you wish. So she took him to Trinidad, to Port of Spain. And the dog behaved a little badly in the car because it had never been in a car before. That dog stayed with her for quite a while until she took the dog to Miami because her husband had to go and live in Miami. So there was this little pothole, they call it in Trinidad. Little dog, no home, no food, gets to go to Port of Spain and ends up in Miami. So I said, what a lovely story.
Yeah.
It's a Cinderella story. Yeah. So I wrote this and I then added to the dogs, because I'd only seen about 3 dogs. I gave Dancer was the main dog. But I named one dog Starlight, one night. One dog, Sunlight, and one Moonlight. So those 4 go through the book. Some of them have a tragic ending. Sunlight, swimming towards the sun, drowns in Mayara on the beach. Starlight runs away with a ragamuffin kind of reggae boy. And the whole point was that the book did so well here and in Miami that I turned it into a play. And I wrote the lyrics and a wonderful, wonderful, very, very brilliant chap there called Roger Israel did the music for me. And I had 120 children on the stage playing the different parts, and each one had a song. So that was very successful.
Yeah.
And then the second, well, I've been writing a column for 23 years on social etiquette and funny how to handle situations in your office that shouldn't happen.
Right.
It became very, very popular. So I had my own page, and it was called the Marguerite Gordon Column. I did that for 23 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, it stopped now. But I felt so good yesterday. I was somewhere, and a couple came in and said, you're Marguerite Gordon. And I said, yes. And they said, we used to read your column so much. And the husband said, I learned so much. The husband said that.
Man,
and she said, the wife said, we read your columns every Sunday. So that's so I wrote a book, and I have the book, which I have sold. Now, the third book that I've written is a book that I'm going to need publicity on when it really comes out. It's a book called Empires of the Caribbean.
Ooh.
You see, Caribbean is such a fabulous place. I'm writing about Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, Guyana, and Venezuela.
My wife is from Guyana. My wife's mother is from Guyana, yes.
Oh, you see, every country, little country, let me just start from Jamaica. The people in Jamaica, my fictional family, have a cattle ranch, and they also sell pimentos. Jamaica sells one of the most pimentos to the world market. Pimento, the plant, and the tree.
Yes.
Trinidad and Tobago, my mythical family, Trinidad and Tobago, are into fishing and bringing all the islands together to do and storing their fish, cleaning their fish, and they're also going to go into a cosmetic line. And Guyana, who has a huge empire of gold, silver, emeralds, and diamonds, which has been there for a long time. But I started this book 15 years ago, and I said in my book, Guyana will get oil.
Yes.
And Guyana had not found oil then. But of course, it now is a big market.
It is, yes, I know.
And Exxon is in there. So it has suspense in the book. It has love. It has tragedy. It has evil in the boardrooms, machinations of people who want to get the chairman's job feel. And it also talks about, since I saw, which wasn't talked about then, human trafficking between Trinidad and Tobago and Venezuela.
Oh, right.
There has been human trafficking, and there is human trafficking now. So I think I've covered everything. Don't you?
Thank you.
You've had an experience. My word.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure to talk with you, Mark. I admire you hugely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I admire you hugely.
We think you're amazing and very brave and
admire what your strength.
We think you're great.
And your courage. We think you're great. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. I feel very honoured that you asked me.
No,
the honour is ours. Trust me.
It's great that you can still look back at James Bond, Sean Connery, and Dr. No, and still be very proud of what you've done.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. All the very best.
Thank you so much for your time. Gregory. Lovely to meet
you.
So much.
You're a superstar. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Kisses.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Underneath the mango tree.
You can find all our other episodes on YouTube, iTunes and Spotify, and we're also on social media. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Really, the worst.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.